how to design your own prosthesis and turn the project into a bonding experience. From Civil Wars, Whistleblower Tactics, Schematic Drafting, and the Finer Points of Sith Adoption, the Essential How-To Guide for the Engineering Jedi. Content warnings available in description.
Well, I have currently been assigned. Wait. I know this isn't, like, quite the same thing, I don't think, but I have currently been assigned. Someone has marked up some lines I'm going to be reading for a pornography I'm in, to be in a Farsi accent. And I don't know how that's going to go. This was originally going to be a Spanish accent, which I can do just fine. And they're like, hey, have you thought about Farsi? And I'm like, no, I haven't really. And then, it turned into this thing where I'm going to try Farsi. So who knows? Well, I think that the female lead on the project must either have people or be able to... Well, yeah, some examples were sent. And apparently it has some similarities with a French accent, which I can hear listening to it. And I can do a bang-up French accent. So, we're going to find out. I haven't actually tried it yet. But, like, this person, like, sent me extensive notes on how to do it and marked up the lines to show, like, what I should do with various, like, consonants and vowels and shit. So, I don't know. Like, I can't really turn down help that good on figuring out a new accent. But, like, I'm open to trying just about any accent. Anyway. Fucking do it, are you kidding me? I'm assuming, yeah. But like, guys is not stretching my accent chops, which I'm not saying it has to, but it's like, If you're thinking, like, I know you haven't listened to the rest of my work, because all the rest of it's Harry Potter, and fair enough, why fucking would you? But, like, I've got a lot of accents I can pull out. A lot. Like, not necessarily in all cases good enough for me to voice a character by itself in like an animation or a video game or something, but good enough for an audiobook. I have standard American, Virginian, Texan, Midwestern, Californian, New York, Boston. In the UK, I've got London, RP, really RP, West Country, Yorkshire, Middlesbrough, Lancashire, kind of. I'm kind of getting the Scouse down as well. I got a Welsh. I got Northern Irish, Scottish, French, Spanish, German if Sakiko's standing right there. General Slavic. All I know about Ohio is that in Ohio you tend to not pronounce L's in most cases where adults would normally put an L, like shoulders. You say shoulders in Ohio. I know that. But what the fuck else do I have? Like, I have an Italian hookup. I can I have an Italian voice model who's always happy to accommodate me. I don't always bother to use it because, like, I can kind of just fake one and it's, like, fine, you know? Like, it's like, okay, I can kind of tell what they're going for. But, like, I could do the Swedish chef with some help from Acno. You know, anyway, let's start reading fan fiction. Yeah, I mean, like, I have, so long as you can nurse maid me through the fucking, I mean, like, is my Grindelwald good enough for it? Like, I don't know. I mean, I know it's characters we've already seen, but, like, you know, I don't really know how you feel about my Grindelwald currently.
I don't know how you feel about my Grindelwald currently. Sort of just, you know, slight and airy, like this, you know.
Anyway, a lot of trigger warnings in this one.
Chapter 10. And pray to our past on bleeding knees. To say that Firmus Piant was livid as he stalked out. To say that Firmus Piant was livid as he stalked down the hallways towards the detention center would be an understatement so egregious he didn't think anyone would be able to find the humor in it. Thankfully, he was far from the only one positively boiling. With barely contained fury as they made their way there. Engineer Livon had joined up with him once more when he passed the vicinity of the hangars on his way from the stern to the bow of the ship.
Aw.
And considering this concern, their immediate superior, and if Piet's eyes weren't deceiving him, friend. Piet didn't have the heart to refuse them their request to join. Besides, the man had the most info on the captured suspect so far, and Piet wasn't about to deny. And Piet wasn't about to deny himself such a source before facing the prisoner. Never mind that it was always a wise idea to stock up on relevant knowledge when one knew a positively in. When one knew a positively incendiary Lord Vader was prowling the halls and heading for your destination. Unfortunately,
The Commanders Apple and Cody had to depart for the medical ward instead of... Unfortunately, the Commanders Apple and Cody had to depart for the medical world instead of joining them, having been summoned by Lord Vader to once more act as Lars' security detail while his lordship was absent. Instead, they were now accompanied by the troopers Grace and Rocco, who had both summarily introduced themselves as two of the veterans Veers had approved for security duty. Veers had approved for security duty while the lockdown lasted. Rocco, who had introduced himself as a man, had taken up flanking positions around him and Livon, had taken up flanking positions around him and Livon while they marched through the oddly empty halls toward the detention center. Curfew had gone into effect for the day shift, and while it was usually encouraged of crewmates to be in their bunk at a reasonable time, matter of fact was that aboard the lady, and with both the crew size and general 24/7 activity, it simply wasn't practical. Okay, minute. Time to go.
Hey, buddy boy. I know. But you were being a good boy. But if Midna has to go, you have to go too, because Midna can't stand to be without her Logan.
Curfew had gone into effect for the day shift, and while it was usually encouraged of crewmates to be in their bunk at a reasonable time, matter of fact was that aboard the lady, and with both the crew size and general 24/7 activity, it simply wasn't practical to install and enforce a curfew as a matter of course. If he was entirely honest with himself, there was a great amount of credence to the way some of the crew described the lady as less of a ship and more of a deep space city. And like any city, they apparently had their own criminal population, too. Grimacing in distaste, he returned his attention towards Livon, only 2 seconds having passed. And what did you say of how the subject was apprehended, Engineer? He asked slowly, trying not to let the fury seep into his tone. We found him attempting to dispose of some of the evidence, sir, Livon answered promptly. Voice icy as well. He was apprehended when he attempted to make a run for it. None too gently, I might add. They said with a vicious satisfaction, and Piet couldn't say he disagreed with the sentiment. There may be some injuries and a few scuffs on him, they finished, sounding utterly unconcerned. The trooper to his right, Grace, snorted loudly.
I'll say, he muttered. The guy was full-on tackled by 3 Vode. If there aren't any scuffs to show for, I'd almost be impressed. Or disappointed with the Vode in question,
Rocco retorted just as lowly. Piet ignored the both of them as he continued his questioning. And they admitted to the sabotage, too, he followed up sternly.
Detaining and interrogating someone who turned out to be an innocent would be a nasty business, but Piet knew himself well enough that he wouldn't be able to treat the prisoner in an unbiased manner unless he heard here and there... Oh, no. Unless he heard here and now that guilt hadn't been asserted yet. In an unbiased manner, unless he heard here and now that guilt hadn't been ascertained yet. Not that he needed to, given that there were multiple eyewitnesses of them attempting to get rid of evidence. That concern disappeared as soon as Lyvon turns to grin at him, or rather, bare their teeth at him. Not in as many words. Though he didn't have the good sense to exercise his right to remain silent, sir, let's put it that way, they said, satisfaction dripping off their tone.
They're right, sir, Rocco agreed instantly. I recall an admission of motive, a couple of curses, and some hints to a possible co-conspirator, too, she summed up succinctly. If they weren't the culprit, they sure as hell were attempting to aid the person who is in... they sure as hell were attempting to aid the person who is in evading our grasp.
Well then, Piet would feel exactly no remorse when they turned the proverbial thumbscrews on this man. And only some part of him was disappointed that there would be little to be gained by actually turning down the... And only some part of him was disappointed that there would be little to be gained by actually turning on the... By actually turning the thumbscrews on this man. But they needed information. And incoherent confessions made while half delirious with... But they needed information. Not incoherent confessions made while half delirious with pain. He doubted the man would be granted a swift death, though. Even if he wasn't the saboteur, if he... Even if he wasn't the saboteur, he was still caught attempting to aid and abet them, and Lord Vader was far from in a forgiving mood.
And who are they, exactly? He asked darkly after they gave the trooper at the first check...
He asked darkly as he gave the trooper at the first checkpoint before the detention center his codes, eager to put a name to the vague threat that had been hanging over them.
You seem to know who they are, Lyvon, but enlighten the rest of us. I'm rather curious to that particular tale as well, sir,
Grace agreed as he stepped forward to unlock a door.
Who is he?
Lyvon made a sound deep in their throat that wasn't entirely unlike a snarl and began their explanation. His name is Rodolphus Hurst, and he was, a part of the Engineering Corps. Vice Engineer, 5th rank, to be exact. Lyvon pulled a hand through their hair and blew out a breath. I can guess as to his motivation beyond what he yelled as well. Hurst is from an old world Corps family, and his name carries some weight in the right circles, but... Well, they trailed off. Not here, Piet finished easily.
Oh, I know.
Not here, Piet finished easily, certain in his assertion. Your name alone could get you far in most of the... Your name alone could get you far in most of the Imperial Armed Forces, but not here. Not aboard the Lady. Not under Lord Vader. Nothing but sheer competence and luck would do. And if you didn't have either, you either didn't advance in a best-case scenario, or were disposed of in a worst-case scenario. Lyvon shot him a significant look.
Yes, they agreed. Not here. They sighed. Hurst, he's a good engineer. Decent enough, but nothing special. Nothing that would warrant the higher-ups taking notice, and I never saw fit to promote him beyond Vice Engineer 5th rank, either. Neither did Lars. Hurst never took that well. He attempted a petition for a promotion many times, but his performance never improved to match his desired rank, so I dismissed it every time.
Rocco made a disgusted sound that Piet could swear was accompanied by an eye roll.
Ah, one of those types,
she grumbled, scorn thick in her voice.
Exactly, Lyvon agreed. I see that now, but then...
Their expression turned pained as they recalled the rest of their story.
Lars heard him out as well, Lyvon revealed, but demanded that he be able to perform certain tasks...
demanded that he be able to perform certain tasks and assignments to his satisfaction before promoting him, and gave him those chances. Things like being able to keep cool in a crisis, being able to lead a team of people to perform at a certain level, and general leadership. But Hurst failed, inevitably, every time. Piet hissed through his teeth as a picture began to take shape, barely registering the second checkpoint as they passed through. "And let me guess," he nearly growled. "Hurst took umbrage with the laws instead of seeking to improve his own skills."
"Spot on, sir," Lavon said with a mirthless smile. "He blamed Lars, and when Lars instead responded by saying that the officers above... him were able to perform to satisfactory standards, and that while Hurst wasn't quite at their level yet, he was happy to allow the man to retake his trials whenever he felt ready for them. Well," Lavon shrugged his shoulders, "Hurst lost it. It was one of the few times that I've seen Lars pull rank, too. Sir, it may be a rather easy Sir may be a rather easy superior to work under, but he still demands a certain level of respect. When Hurst refused to submit to his judgment and proceeded to create a scene in which he slandered Lars's name and those of some other officers with deplorable language, Lars actually saw fit to have him suspended for a while, citing his inability to treat his fellow officers and sentience with any modicum of respect." One of the troopers whistled low, and Piet could only agree. For Lars to actually deem someone as having gone too far and disciplined them to these the extent of suspension, he couldn't believe this hadn't sent the scuttlebutt spinning like a top. "Why is this the first time hearing of this incident, engineer?" he asked, curiosity piqued. Usually the grapevine was rather reliable in dispensing any Lars-related news within days or hours.
"It happened during an officer meeting," Lavon explained quietly. "And Lars asked to keep the incident among ourselves and not air any dirty laundry beyond necessity."
Hurst had already been disciplined, according to him, and he didn't think it proper for him to be punished by the court of public opinion as well. So the paperwork was filed, we deflected the rumors amongst the Corps as best we could, and Hurst was proud enough that... he wasn't too inclined towards discussing his suspension either. The incident faded into the background. We had plenty of other things to worry ourselves over, and we moved on," they sighed. "Or so we thought." Piet grimaced in sympathy. "A suspension may be an unpleasant affair and a stain on one's record, if not end one's climb through the ranks in some rare cases, but with a population of 1.2 million aboard the Lady and a fiercely competitive atmosphere amongst her officers, they weren't exactly uncommon either. Perhaps not everyday happenings, but certainly not rare either, and always preferable to an execution. To hear that Hurst had managed to get himself suspended by someone who was likely the single most agreeable person on the Lady... did not paint a favorable portrait of him, to say the least. And Piet was beginning to wonder what in the world the man had to do for Lars to decide to snap. "When was this?" he asked. There hadn't been any reports these last couple of months, so that meant... Wait, no. There hadn't been any reports these last couple of months, so that meant...
"About 3.5 months ago, sir," Lavon answered promptly.
"Hurst's suspension was lifted after 2 weeks, and he resumed his duties up until now." "So there would have been plenty of time for a plan to form, right here under all their noses." Piet nodded absently as they approached the entrance gates of the detention center.
He was likely far from the right state of mind to face this man in a calm and unbiased manner, but until Lord Vader arrived to carry out the interrogation in full, there was time being wasted that could be spent either getting information out of Hurst or putting the fear of the Empire into the man so that he'd be easier to crack under Lord Vader. The troopers manning the detention center saluted sharply as they approached and were already moving by the time Piet had snapped off his own salute, clearly working on the correct presumption that they were here for one prisoner and one prisoner only.
Yeah, it's also, I'm thinking, like, isn't letting someone stew a classic interrogation technique? That's actually Imperial standard procedure. But everyone's emotions are high because of Lars.
He's in interrogation cell 38R, sir, one of the troopers volunteered as they dropped their own salute. Cuffed and all. I'd say he's had some decent time to think on his situation.
Who just pung me on a different server? Let's see.
Piet nodded his thanks to the trooper, but didn't break his stride except to instruct Livon to wait in the entrance hallway. Time was of the essence here, and he wasn't about to waste a single second. Navigating the twisting and unintuitive corridors of the detention facility, he wondered idly whether the man had enough of a spine to resist selling out his co-conspirators until after Lord Vader had arrived, or if he'd crack before then. Fear of the unknown could be a powerful motivator, after all. Coming to a halt in front of the interrogation cell in question, he was pleased to note that the troopers stationed here had taken no chances in regards to security, and had a full squad standing guard in the hallway. With a click of his code cylinder and a beep of the lock, the door to cell 38R slid open, and Piet stepped inside. Inside, the lights were on the verge of headache-inducing bright, but angled away from the interrogator's position through subtle architectural tricks. The room was colder than was strictly comfortable, and the whole place was designed to inspire a subtle but suitable air of menace and powerlessness. In the midst of the room was a plain, polished Durasteel table that was welded to the floor, the only odd feature being the cuffs built into the tabletop that allowed someone just enough mobility to comfortably stand up, but not much else. Currently, they were restraining the sole target of Piet's ire, Rodolphus Hurst. Distantly, he registered the two troopers taking up position in the corners behind him, but Piet never took his eyes off of the man who was part of the cause for so much suffering aboard his ship. Colorless dark hair and an overall plain appearance, the man was as nondescript as his apparent performance had been as an emperor, the only exception being the remarkably ugly stain... that was both his suspension and a disdainful sneer, worsened by the messy scab running the side of his temple, which he estimated was the result of the full-on tackle the Vode had apparently laid down on the man.
God damn it. This is pickup. The man was as nondescript as his apparent The man was as nondescript as his apparent performance had been as an The man was as nondescript as his apparent performance had been as an engineer. Here we go.
Oh, I thought he was talking about Livon for a second. And I'm like, whoa. It's like in Lord of the Rings where Farmer Maggot's talking about the Nazgul, right? It's like, oh yeah, gentleman came up to me the other day, a black chap. You know, it's like that's not what he means. He's a core worlder, right? Okay.
So, the man sneered, and Piet immediately decided to dislike him on the fact that he seemed to speak through his teeth alone. The black bastard from hell has decided to send his mutt to handle this. Why am I not surprised? Narrowing his eyes at the man and feeling the rage boiling away in his blood, Piet was ever so glad that this man had already been caught committing a crime red-handed, as he was far from certain he would be able to keep himself from planting a fist somewhere soft and painful. Lord Vader is en route as we speak, and will receive and will arrive to interrogate you shortly, he informed the man in a clipped and faux polite tone. His rage slightly quenched when he saw visible fear enter the man's eyes, even as he kept up his bravado. I'm merely here to see if you won't render his visit a short one, and explain to me why, in the name of the Empire, you thought it a wise idea to sabotage. And he really couldn't help how he hissed that word either. Head engineer Lars's workshop. This man had decided that Lars deserved to die, and he was willing to carry out the act, no matter who had urged him to it. Why? Hurst scoffed loudly and leaned back in his chair. Don't pretend like you care about the brat, Captain, he spat. There is no favor from Lord Vader you can gain here. Be a man about it, and at least be honest as to why you're doing this. Glaring at the man he wasn't even sure deserved that designation, Piet barely refrained from grinding his teeth. I am, he retorted icily. I want to know what makes you think an innocent young man was an appropriate target for a murder attempt. Or was it an assassination? I notice that you do not deny staging the sabotage. Hurst's eyes widened and he hissed a curse under his... Now your place, you backwater degenerate, he growled to Piet. I do not need to talk to you, and I know my rights. He jerked his chin up defiantly and glared at Piet down his nose in a move that he had long since become desensitized to. Why all aristocrats thought it would be an effective move to look at someone like they were dirt on their shoes, he had no idea. Certainly, he agreed mildly, not so much as twitching in his stance. Though I would like to note that, although you most certainly do not have to talk to me, you will talk to Lord Vader. You will talk to Lord Vader. He let his mouth twitch up into a cold smile, one way or the other. Something shook in Hurst's posture, flashing across his face, and Piet thought distantly that this was likely what people meant by smelling blood in the water. Hurst had shown the cracks in his armor, a deep-seated fear of Lord Vader that was eating away at him even as he attempted to display himself as utterly unconcerned with the situation. Perfect. He could use that. He has no right! That was too much. It was the right! Like, it's just such a quiet T. Like... He has no right. Right. He has no right. Hurst threw back with a desperation edging in. When word reaches home. If. Piet corrected idly. If word reaches your home, Mr. Hurst. That's Engineer Hurst to you, Captain. Hurst rebuked, scowling darkly. I will be addressed by my proper rank. Piet narrowed his eyes even further, but inclined his head eventually. Very well, he agreed, not even bothering to disguise the disgust in his tone. Engineer Hurst, I take it that if you're insisting on formally applicable designations, you wish to be treated as if you were not living on borrowed time as well? Perhaps not the wisest thing to say if he was aiming for information, but he was not the true interrogator. He simply had to... He simply had to unsettle Hurst to the point that Lord Vader would be able to crack open his psyche with minimal effort. Something that he was rather successful in when, for a moment, just a moment, there was nothing but realization and fear on Hurst's face. He quickly covered it up again, but Piet knew, he knew now the buttons to push. He likely wouldn't even have to lie. He has no right, Hurst repeated, desperation now truly setting in. He'll be in for a whole world of pain once word reaches home if he does, and none of the families will stand for seeing one of their best executed. He asserted with such stunning confidence that Piet nearly laughed. Lord Vader? He asked, not even having to fake a small amused smirk. Heir to the Empire, the Emperor's fist, and a scourge of its enemies, he will be in for a world of hurt. I don't think you understand that there is something of a discrepancy in power and prominence between the two of you. Dear Force, if that... if it wasn't for the act Hurst had committed, he doubted Lord Vader even would have heard of the man. Unlike Lars, he certainly hadn't done anything worthwhile to be noted for. Smoke and mirrors, Hurst dismissed easily. And for a moment, Piet honestly couldn't tell if the man truly believed that or not. He would be nothing without the competence of his underlings propping him up. Nothing at all. Besides, he was hurt enough when that brat almost bit it, I'm sure. Piet hummed low in his throat. Considering what he had seen of Lord Vader's reaction when Lars had gotten injured, he begrudgingly ceded Hurst a point. However, he personally thought that, much like a wild beast, it was foolish at best and suicidal at worst to think that an injury, whether it be physical or emotional, would be a wise idea to inflict. Especially since it seemed clear that Lord Vader had a very strong sense of vengeance that had only gone unnoticed up that had only gone unnoticed up until now because he had no reason to utilize it. Not so now. Perhaps. Perhaps, he conceded begrudgingly and took vicious pleasure in tearing the smug smirk on Hurst's face. With his next sentence. However, I fail to see how that in any way would benefit you, Engineer Hurst, since pain seems to be an agitator. seems to be an agitator to Lord Vader, rather than any form of deterrent. Hurst's throat worked heavily as he swallowed, and Piet steadily met the man's gaze as the ex-engineer tried to stare him down. This man, if not the saboteur himself, had at the very least attempted to allow the true culprit to get away with a heinous crime. Which meant, if nothing else, that he endorsed the attempted assassination of Lars, or perhaps even knew their identity. He doubted they would be two separate people, though. Hurst's identity and rank as an engineer with a grudge towards Lars worked too perfectly with what they knew of the workshop security systems to be a coincidence. All right, Hurst managed to get out at last, with Piet making no attempts to make it any easier on the man, even as he had to admit that the man had managed to get his tone steadier than expected. Let's say, for the sake of argument, that I did compromise a few of the printer systems. If so, so what? The brat has lived far past his expiration date, anyway. Expiration date? Piet questioned sharply. Was he implying what he thought he was implying?
By the way, before I launch into this next thing, I've just realized that, as with many men, with many people of all walks of life, Piet doesn't get angry, he gets sexy. And that's just how this is going to be. like...
Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about, Captain, Hurst snapped back. No one ought to survive that long. That close in proximity to Lord Vader that often. You know it, I know it, everyone knows it. So what if the brat had died? He was long overdue, and it would have stopped this stagnation of the rotation of officers so that the proper people could finally get their chance.
There we go.
Piet blinked. What in the name of the whole fucking empire had he just heard? Repeat that, please, he said, somehow keeping his voice pleasant, even as he could hear the troopers shift dangerously behind him. And he didn't have to look to know that they were ready and willing to jump on this man and to a repeat performance of the tackle that had gotten Hurst apprehended.
Repeat that, word for word. Because I do believe I didn't understand you the first time, Engineer.
Hurst glared at him, even as he sometimes glanced off to the troopers stationed behind Piet, and he knew what kind of picture they must be making right now. Still, the man either found his courage or his stupidity, and proceeded with his statement.
Don't act like you're above it all and don't know what I'm talking about, Captain, he hissed. You heard the rumors true, didn't you? The one ship in the Navy where promotions were fast
and often for the right kind of officers. And often for the right kind of officers. And with the wrong kind didn't last long. He gave Piet a scornful once-over and sneered in disgust. I don't know how you managed to cheat the system, but you'll face your own expiration date sooner rather than later. Lord Vader may be nothing without the competent under him, but at least he's useful in that respect. Hurst fell silent for a beat and then amended. Most of the time. It seemed the brat needed some helping along in this case for some reason.
I really like this. He had heard it right. He had heard it right. He, for whatever reason, had heard those words come out of Hurst's mouth. He believed Lars deserved to die because he... because he had managed not to incur Lord Vader's wrath, and that was... That was... Who in the name of the Force?
So let me get this perfectly straight, Engineer Hurst, he said. His voice as pleasant as he could manage, but likely still revealing his mildly unhinged feelings. Your reasoning for why Lars deserved to die was because he managed to earn and keep an officer ranking aboard the Lady, and build a rapport with Lord Vader instead of getting executed for his failure. Lars. Luke Lars, 18 years old, signed on as soon as he had reached majority by Lord Vader himself, bright and clever and kind and joyful. And this man, this dreg of society, believed... Hurst snarled.
It wasn't his to take, he shouted. What right did he, a no-name nobody with nothing, a no-name nobody with less understanding of proper culture and norms than your average house toker, have to take the position as head engineer aboard the flagship of the Empire? What right did that interloper bastard have? And what wrong is there in removing him?
Should I do, this one?
And what wrong is there in removing him?
I think I should put that in. Should I put that in? Why not? It was fun to do.
I might like work it into the prose, I don't fucking know.
That was as far as he got. And it took Piet a second to realize that he had moved at all, and that there was a considerable shock of pressure in his right arm as a balled-up fist connected with Hurst's nose, breaking it with a sharp snap. Hurst started shrieking in pain a split second later, and Piet found himself being lightly restrained and pulled away from the man 1 second after that. He wasn't exactly aware of his surroundings, seeing as blood was pounding in his ears, and there was a red haze over everything. But he was pretty sure he was being lightly restrained, as they were quite obviously not trying their hardest to pull him off of the man, and working himself free was a matter of merely shaking them off. Grabbing Hurst by the lapels and getting right up in his face, Piet hissed something. Piet hissed like something venomous and dangerous as the smell of iron filled his nose, blood dripping onto the cuffs of his jacket.
Now listen here and listen closely, he said lowly, cold fire pumping through his veins with every beat of a too-fast heart that was drumming to the beat of something that whispered to protect. You got caught attempting to destroy evidence. Red-handed, Engineer Hurst, he hissed, spitting the title like a curse, poison on his tongue, and taboo in the air. And some of your most vital rights, as both a citizen and employee of the Empire, were effectively dismissed the moment you decided to commit treason by making an enemy out of both Lars and Lord Vader. A decision which, frankly speaking, is so staggeringly, short-sightedly stupid that I am almost at a loss for words. Almost being the key word, he had plenty of things to say to Hurst. He released Hurst and let the man fall back into his chair unceremoniously, blood still dripping from his nose and down his face. His mind calming down again somewhat from the boiling in his veins as he realized what he had done. Sith spit. He had allowed his rage to take rein and punched a prisoner. It didn't matter that Hurst had had it coming or that he hardly regretted it. It didn't matter that... It didn't matter that it would be nothing less than... It didn't matter that it would be nothing less than a miracle if the man survived the day. He had still punched a man who couldn't defend himself and was in custody, and that crossed a line. He sighed as he stuffed his rage back down until he could no longer feel it seething just under his skin. Unfortunately, what was done, and he was hardly in a position where apologizing would be the wise choice. He needed Hurst to confess, and as much as he despised it, he knew that an apology would be seen as a weakness by the man, and would lead him back to defiance instead of compliance. But he would need to control himself better from here on out. Adopting an icy, disdainful demeanor once more, he shook a few drops of blood off of his glove and onto the floor with a flick of his hand. So allow me to elaborate on your current situation, he offered coolly. Crossing his arms, he glared down at Hurst with sheer disdain, as he mentally compiled the events as if writing a report. You tried to kill a crewmate with a... with a despicable act of self-admitted sabotage. I admit to nothing, Hurst countered furiously as he finally found his voice again, sounding even more nasal now that he was clutching his nose, something Piet would be all too happy to shut down with barely another word. And you cannot make me say otherwise! Self-admitted, Piet interrupted coolly. On the count that so far, no one but five people, among which myself and Lord Vader, knew that the act of sabotage was a compromised printer.
I thought for a second that Piet was the one that brought up the printer, but I was mistaken.
He grinned darkly as he saw the realization dawn on Hurst's face. You gave yourself away, Mr. Hurst. You gave yourself away, Mr. Hurst, he murmured, barely loud enough to be heard, and he could tell that Hurst was straining to do so. And you will come to regret such sloppy performance and execution of your treason very, very surely.
The way all blood drained out of Hurst's face was a very... The way all blood drained out of Hurst's face was very gratifying indeed, the man's pale countenance contrasting vividly with the blood still dripping from his now crooked nose.
What did I tell you? What did I tell you? If Piet doesn't get angry, he gets sexy.
But do allow me to continue illuminating you on your current situation, he continued conversationally, feeling himself effortlessly slip back into his old persona of when the people sitting across from him were only small-time criminals and pirates. This, at least, he knew how to handle. You tried to kill a crewmate in a premeditated murder, and injured them gravely in the attempt, which, incidentally, also counts as an assassination attempt. You admitted to treason. You tried to destroy evidence of said treason. Now, do not misunderstand me, he said icily, tapping his fingers along his arm. You would already be marked a dead man walking if you had attempted and said things... with a fresh recruit barely off the shuttle, but you didn't. He straightened up to his full height, which, while far from impressive, was still enough to tower over the seated man. You chose to do all of that with Lord Vader's highest favored, and the young man who caught the attention of half the Empire at large, amongst whom are both the Emperor and the Grand Moff themselves. You chose the target of a genius with whole factions, systems, and even the imperial court vying for his favor and a scrap of his intellect, who has nonetheless chosen to stay loyal to Lord Vader. You decided to burn yourself on a rising star, the likes of which you couldn't even hope to match. You decided to target Luke Lars.
He watched idly as Hurst's pale face turned pasty once the realization set in, and Piet noted that the man apparently didn't... and Piet noted that the man apparently did realize who was and wasn't of interest to the head of the Empire and whose side they should choose if retaliation for this action did come from Lord Vader. A surprising development. He hadn't thought the man capable of introspect... He hadn't thought the man capable of introspection to that degree, especially through what was likely a not insignificant amount of pain from his broken nose. Ah, well, it wouldn't last much longer. Furthermore, he continued, keeping his tone as light as a conversation on the weather would warrant, even as he attempted to glare a hole through the man's skull, while that was a foolish mistake in and of itself, you also ensure that the one person who could perhaps, with a not insignificant expenditure of effect, spare you your approaching fate, is both incapacitated. With a not insignificant expenditure of effect, I said it. I did it again. With a not insignificant expenditure of effort, spare you your approaching fate, is both incapacitated and likely utterly unwilling to stick out his neck for you due to your actions. You chose to make an enemy out of perhaps the second most powerful person on this ship. Piet grinned mirthlessly in a display of teeth. That was a critical mistake. And one he wouldn't be recovering from, Piet knew. Not so long as Lord Vader still breathed in that nightmarish manner. The Dark Lord wouldn't stand for it. And Hurst apparently... And Hurst apparently knew that, too. Keeping quiet and still in stark contrast to his earlier behavior. How the realization of morality changes people, Piet thought idly. In the end, they all had to face who they truly were, he supposed. And if Hurst's reactions were anything to go by, he could guess that the man was highly underwhelmed by what he found. All his pride in his name and skill set gone in a puff of smoke once the realization hit that in the eyes of the great and powerful he wished to walk amongst, he would never be greater than a brat from the outer rim. It would be pitiable if it weren't for the fact that said pride had spurred him to attempt murder for reasons he now found hollow. He dropped the amicable facade once he saw that the fight had thoroughly been drained out of Hurst, closing in for the kill. "So allow me to lay out your options," he hissed icily. "You either admit your deeds, confess to how and why you did them, tell us who else was behind this horrific plot, and earn yourself a swift execution or prison sentence as the traitor you... And earn yourself a swift execution... And earn yourself a swift execution or prison sentence as the traitor you are. Or," he said, placing both hands on the table and leaning over them, staring Hurst straight into... staring Hurst straight into his pain and despair dulled eyes. "You keep up this futile denial and arrogance for the sake of your co-conspirators, who haven't and won't attempt to aid you, and earn yourself a slow and torturous death, as Lord Vader works the information out of you anyway." For a moment, an ember of rebellion seemed to enter Hurst once more, and he glared at Piet.
"Don't speak of what you don't know, Captain," interrupted. "I'm the current head of this investigation, acting on Lord Vader's orders, and all relevant information is reported directly to... And all relevant information is reported directly to me."
Piet threw back ruthlessly, aiming to nip that particular tirade in the bud before he had time to build up steam. "Not only has there been no attempt from anyone to free or even contact you, there hasn't so much as been a whisper of support for you. You, Mr. Hurst, stand alone. And whether you believe that or not, fact remains that until your co-conspirators are found, you bear the full brunt of the retaliation for all of your conspiracy's actions."
"That's not..."
Hurst protested. Can I leave out the Hurst, Hurst protested in the audio so I can have Piet cut him off again? Because I want that. Thank you.
It is,
Piet growled, seeing the cracks start to form in the man's resolve. He just needed a bit more before Hurst would either crack or rally, and though this interrogation was frankly barely worth the name with how sloppy he had gone about it, the fact remained that any information Piet could get would be a bonus to Lord Vader's far more skilled tactics.
"So allow me to reiterate,"
he continued, preparing for the final push that would either do it or doom it.
"You committed treason. Even if Lord Vader deigns to let you..."
"Even if Lord Vader deigns to let you live, there is no scenario in which you would walk out of the courts alive and a free man. I advise you to stop thinking of the premise of how to escape a traitor's fate, and start considering what will allow you the least... And start considering what will allow you the least painful death, or perhaps even merely a prison sentence in return for cooperation, if you are very, very lucky. Hurst stared at the table silently, his eyes fixated on where his hands were shackled to the furniture as blood silently dripped onto the durasteel surface in small droplets, the flow finally beginning to stem.
"And if, hypothetically speaking, Captain," he spoke quietly, all earlier fight and fury run out, "I wished to stay loyal to the bitter end and die defiant."
"Then I'd say you should have chosen your loyalties wiser, Mr. Hurst," Pierre retorted coolly, "and thought of whom you know has ever been successful in defying Lord Vader." There was no one that Piet knew of, no one but perhaps one, and he wouldn't be defending Hurst any time soon. Hurst nodded silently and folded his hands as he turned a pensive look back on the table, Piet lapsing into silence himself, unwilling to potentially push the man away from a surrender instead of... unwilling to potentially push the man away from a surrender instead of closer. 1, 2, 3 moments ticked by. And once Piet thought that perhaps Hurst wouldn't see anything at all anymore, a sharp buzz sounded from the corner to his right. A quick glance revealing the stormtrooper checking the comm in question that had just gone off.
"I'm sorry, sir," Grace said evenly. "But you'll have to cut this short. Lord Vader has arrived."
"Ah, perfect timing as usual." Piet nodded with a grim smile and jerked his head towards the door in a subtle... And jerked his head towards the door in a subtle gesture for the troopers to leave. The doors hissed open without any further input, and for one heart-stopping moment, Piet thought they would be joined by Lord Vader before... Piet thought they would be joined by Lord Vader before remembering the wardens who had been watching... Piet thought they would be joined by Lord Vader before remembering the wardens who would have been watching this whole exchange over the cameras. Striding over towards the door, Piet would have walked out without hesitation if not for the sudden call of...
"Captain.
Captain." Glancing back while still standing in the door opening, Piet met Hurst's eyes one last time, and he doubted there would... And he doubted there would even be another. The man seemed to stumble over his own words for a moment, conflict clear on his face, before he sighed.
Claude Rotz,
he finally said. He was in on it too, and knows more than I do. He only approached me a few days ago on behalf of someone else, and promised that I would be given protection if I went through with it. I have my suspicions on who that someone was, but Rotz will know for sure. A million unspoken statements went unsaid in that moment. Unsaid, but not unheard. Piet regarded the man coolly and nodded once. "I will inform Lord Vader of your cooperation," he offered in return. And I suggest that if you have any faith you follow, you make your peace with it in the next couple of moments. Farewell, Mr. Hurst." With that, he strode out of the interrogation cell, fully aware that he was likely the last person who would see Hurst alive, and not caring in the slightest. The man may have found himself in a hopeless situation that would have been almost painful, but Piet couldn't forget the sight of a bruised and burnt youth being laid out on a stretcher. If Hurst met his end here, it was no more than he had planned for Lars. Still, the man had cooperated in the The man had cooperated in the end for whatever reasoning he had found within himself, and they now had a name. Claude Rotz. A name that was familiar to him, unfortunately enough. Unfortunately enough. A naval commander aboard the Lady. The man was of old blood and older money, and made sure everyone knew it, too. Appointed to his position in the usual fashion of the Navy instead of Lord Vader's more extreme and yet more meritocratic methods. The man was a pain to work with and respected... The man was a pain to work with and respected Piet's rank as captain with about the same casual disgust as one would have for a perishable... as one would have for a perishable that had been left out of the freezer for too long. Somehow it was neither a surprise or... Somehow it was neither a surprise nor a disappointment that Rotz was apparently wrapped up in this conspiracy. Sighing deeply, Piet set a quick pace through the maze of halls that was at a... attention center. It seemed the... It seemed that he had another stop to make before the... It seemed that he had another stop to make before this day was over. One for which he had a feeling he might want to... One for which he had a feeling he might want to take more than two troopers just to be safe. Steps echoing through the halls, Piet hardly heard the distinctive sound drifting his way until he was nearly upon the exit already. The sound of a cycling respirator. The wardens had apparently been utterly literal when they had said Lord Vader was here, ordering his minds to give the report that likely would... Piet stepped into the entrance hall of the detention center and approached the Piet stepped into the entrance hall of the detention center and approached the black specter waiting for him there with as much confidence as he could muster. "My lord," he said as he saluted his commander sharply. "Captain Piet," the man returned with a nod, vocoder rumbling with something dangerous. "I assume that by the bloodstains on your uniform, you just came from the suspect's cell." He couldn't stop his eyes from widening slightly as he remembered the bloodstains marking both his gloves and cuffs from which... and cuffs from when he had allowed his emotions to overcome him and attacked Hurst. Cursing internally as his adrenaline... levels skyrocketed, he endeavored to keep his face blank of any further expressions. "As you say, my lord." "As you say, my lord," he admitted evenly, volunteering no further information while Lord Vader made his judgment.
And I said, I know this ain't how it is, but, like, I just pictured, like, a, you know, like, a red-tinted RoboCop or Terminator HUD, right? And, like, you see a little, like, it traces a line around the stain and highlights it and then brings it up into, like, you know, like the corner or something. And it just, like, you see a print on the screen that just says, "Someone's been a naughty boy." Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it's like... God, Vader, Vader's life sucks. He doesn't even get, like, fun toys like that.
And you are aware, Captain, Vader rumbled lowly, a hint of irritation leaking through that sent shivers down Piet's spine, that the application of pain is highly inefficient and makes for unreliable information. I am, my lord, he admitted as steadily as he could, heart pounding like a drum. It was the result of an unintentional emotional reflex on my part to the culprit's words, and a transgression that I regret. It resulted in a bloody nose, and I ensured that I did not lose control again. I apologize.
Would he downplay it like that? Because that's a lie. That is a lie. He broke his fucking nose. Okay. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I remember whether I finished the line. It resulted in a bloody nose, and I ensured I did not lose control again. I apologize. Lord Vader held Piet's gaze, and for a moment, it felt like he was on display as a vivisected... It felt like he was on display as a vivisected specimen in a particularly cruel laboratory. Then the moment passed, and Vader nodded as he turned his gaze back to the hallways Piet had just left, the world realigning itself, even though he noticed a muffled quality to it.
You were not in the right frame of mind to be confronting the culprit.
Lord Vader stated matter-of-factly, even as Piet felt something inside him jerk with that statement. Lord Vader knew. He knew like he always knew, and yet it never got any less eerie.
So why did you, Captain?
He swallowed heavily. Honesty. What he needed now was honesty. Nothing else would be accepted by his lordship.
I felt the responsibility to take this, my lord, he answered. Keep his voice steady. Steady enough to hide the fear edging in. To scout the waters, as it were. And I didn't want to leave anything to chance. Not that it would... Not if it could help... Not if it could help to solve this case. Time is of the essence, and I hoped to either crack the compass defences or extract some preliminary information to continue the... investigation while you proceeded with the proper interrogation, my lord.
And were you successful? Came the immediate follow-up question, which had Piet sighing with relief internally. At the very least, his screw-up... At the very least, his screw-up hadn't cost him any results.
I was, my lord, he answered. Steady, always steady. There was no place for pride here, not yet.
Hurst has named Claude Rotz as a co-conspirator and claimed that there are more members of this conspiracy yet. He has agreed to cooperate with the hope of lessening his punishment to either a prison sentence or something swift... and painless, he finished. Unwilling to say the word execution when he was still revealing the details of his own blunder.
He confessed to being the culprit, then, Lord Vader rumbled.
And Piet could practically feel his lordship's irritations with him shift into fury with Hurst.
Yes, my lord.
He confirmed quickly. He knew details of the sabotage, and no one but those present during the initial discovery and yourself knew, like the method by which the explosion occurred.
His motivation was apparently a grudge against Lars for both suspending him for gross insubordination and for, from his point of view, stealing the position of head engineer from him. His views apparently got him recruited by the conspiracy to actually carry out the sabotage. He was brought into the fold only a few days ago by Commander Rotz. Static rumbled out of the Voke. Static rumbled out of the Voke. Static rumbled out of the vocoder like thunder.
I see, the Black Spectre nearly growled. Very well, Captain. I will concede that your preliminary interrogation bore fruit despite your mistake.
Lord Vader acknowledged with a dip. Lord Vader acknowledged with a dip of his head, and Piet nearly felt lightheaded with relief for a moment before he collected himself.
Thank you, my lord, he said as sincerely as he could.
Lord Vader waved off his gratitude, and Piet knew that it was the signal to begin refocusing on the mission.
You did not compromise your objective, but do not repeat your mistake.
Was the warning. Was the warning he got. And considering what usually happens to people who made mistakes of this caliber, under Lord Vader, that counted as downright permissive.
I won't, my lord, he agreed.
And just like that, he knew that he was, if not forgiven as far as Lord Vader could forgive, at least no longer on the hook for his mistake as long as he didn't repeat it. And while the rush of relief was pleasant, the adrenaline draining away left him feeling more exhausted than anything. Lord Vader made a low sound as he tilted his head to the side for a moment, regarding Piet from what seems to be the corners of his eye.
As for the investigation, I take it you will be taking Commander Rotz into custody.
As soon as I have recruited a few more troopers to aid me in my As soon as I have recruited a few more troopers to aid me in the task, my lord, he agreed easily. That had his towering commander turn his attention fully back to him.
You expect a fight, Captain? He asked,
and Piet couldn't quite decipher the tone that lay underneath. that statement.
Not exactly, my lord, he admitted, but I do not believe this will be as easy as it seems. An intuition, if you will.
The Dark Lord was silent for a moment before nodding his assent.
Yes, I believe you are right, Captain. Very well. I met a patrol of troopers in the A6.
I met a patrol of troopers in the A6 near the starboard barracks on my way here. Judging by their route, they should still be in the area.
You will be able to recruit from them,
the man informed him, and Piet saluted gratefully.
Thank you, my lord, he said, mentally mapping the shortest route to the barracks in question.
A 10-minute walk, if he wasn't mistaken, and directly on the way. To the officer quarters, where Rot should currently be thanks to the curfew. A more efficient route would be a rare find indeed.
Lord Vader turned away from him and his attention back to the hallway that led to the cell where Hurst had...
that led to the cell where Hurst had now to be sweating bullets.
Then I believe you have your orders, Captain. And I have mine, the Dark Lord rumbled lowly. If it is pertinent to your investigation, I will inform you of any information I may extract. Until then, dismissed.
With that final order, the Black Spectre strode into the hallway, the troopers respectfully backing out of his lordship's way as he disappeared in the... The troopers respectfully backing out of his lordship's way as he disappeared into the maze of the...
The troopers respectfully backing out of his lordship's way as he disappeared into the maze of the... The troopers respectfully backing out of his lordship's way as he disappeared into the maze of the detention facility, and somehow Piet knew that he would indeed be the last man to see Hurst alive. With the fact of the man's misdeeds, he found it hard for that to be a pity.
Now, okay, so here's a situation. That's about halfway through the chapter. That might be a good breaking point. But my question for you is, I don't know. It sort of depends. Why am I doing that voice? basically my thinking is that if you guys think that you will be able to fund this whole chapter before next Thursday, then I'll keep going and finish this. If you think that it will take you longer than that, I might do this in two halves. That's up to you guys. That's sort of like, because I don't want to be so ahead of recording that it's like you guys feel rushed or whatever. I don't know what the situation is. But I would rather stay on pace with what the and it's like I'm not like saying, oh, why are you doing anymore? It's like, no, it's like whatever the pace is, I want to stay approximately congruent with it, you know? It would be insane if you guys were able to do the 478 before next Thursday, frankly. But you guys have, you know, done insane shit before. So, like, if you think it'll happen, I'll finish recording it right now. But I am sort of thinking that it's best for two parts. I think that's kind of what this is. And again, that's nothing to me. Like, that's crazy. It'd be great if we could get to the halfway mark before the 4th. That would, like, rule. But that's down to you guys' finance, not my situation. But yeah. Yeah, if we fund it early, then we get ahead. Being ahead on funding is better than being behind on funding, I feel like. Like, okay, one of my other projects is funded fairly slowly, but I have actually decided to fast-track recordings of it, mostly because I'm, like, a couple of months away from being done recording with it entirely if I do that. And I know it's going to be funded way slower, but it's like, it's because there's a stopping point there, and then I can focus on recording something else. You know, this is not that way. And for me to arbitrarily say, I'm going to try and do a chapter every week, that isn't sustainable because I know how long the fucking chapters get here. So, like, you know, it's like, no, not Lily T-Slop. Lily, I'm doing T-Slop on Mondays and Wednesdays until I'm finished recording it, because I only have like 150K left or something, something like that. I think I'm not sure, but anyway, so yeah, thank you guys very much for coming and supporting this and being generally awesome. I will. Oh, the capper on the end, yeah. I mean, I assume unless it's like really dumb or something, I don't know why it wouldn't. It's just an epilogue, but yeah. But yeah, I'll do StarCraft in a little bit. I'll see you guys next Alika, and I don't know why I wouldn't have this edited by the end of the weekend, just like because stuff. But yeah, get that funds in there when you can, and all good stuff. I'll see you guys. Bye.